In the older days of New England, it was Increase Mather who told the students of Harvard that they were pledged to the word of no particular master, that they should above all find a friend in truth. And that became the creed of Harvard. Behind the tumult and the shouting, it is still the creed of Harvard. In this day of modern witch burning, when freedom of thought has been exiled from many lands which were once its home, it is the part of Harvard and America to stand for the freedom of the human mind and to carry the torch of truth. For centuries, the grand old saying, "The truth is great and will prevail," has been a rock of support for persecuted men. But it depends on man's tolerance, self-restraint, and devotion to freedom, not only for themselves, but also for others, whether the truth will prevail through free research, free discussion, and the free intercourse of civilized men, or will prevail only after suppression and suffering, when none cares whether it prevails or not. Love of liberty and freedom of thought is a most admirable attribute of Harvard, but it is not an exclusive possession of Harvard, nor of any other university in America or anywhere else. Love of liberty and freedom of thought are as profound in the homes and on the farms and in the factories of this country as in any university. Liberty is the air that we Americans breathe. Our government is based on the belief that a people can be both strong and free, that civilized men need no restraint but that imposed by themselves against abuse of freedom. Nevertheless, it is a peculiar task of Harvard and of every other university and college in this country to foster and maintain not only freedom within its own walls, but also tolerance, self-restraint, fair dealing, and devotion to the truth throughout America. The past of Harvard has been deeply distinguished. This university will never fail to produce its due proportion of those judged successful by the common standard of success. Of such the world has need. But to produce that type is not the ultimate justification that you would make for Harvard. Rather do we here search for the atmosphere in which men are produced who have either the rare quality of vision or the ability to appreciate the significance of vision when it appears. Where there is vision, there is tolerance, and where there is tolerance, there is peace. And I beg you to think of tolerance and peace not as indifferent and neutral virtues, but as active and positive principles. I am not, you will observe, conceiving of the university as a mere spectator of the great national and international drama in which all of us, despite ourselves, are involved. Here are to be trained not lawyers and doctors merely, not teachers and businessmen and scientists merely. Here is to be trained in the fullest sense man. Harvard should train men men to be citizens in that high Athenian sense which compels a man to live his life unceasingly, aware that its civic significance is its most abiding, and that the rich individual diversity of the truly civilized state is born only of the wisdom to choose ways to achieve, ways that do not hurt one's neighbor. And I am asking the sons of Harvard to dedicate themselves not only to the perpetuation, but also to the enlargement of that spirit, to pay ardent reverence to the past, but to recognize no less the direction of the future, to understand philosophies we do not accept and hopes we find it difficult to share, to account the service of mankind the highest ambition a man can follow, and to know that there is no calling so humble that it cannot be instinct with that ambition. Never to be indifferent to what may affect our neighbors. Always, as Coleridge said, to put truth in the first place and not in the second. These, I would affirm, are the qualities by which the real is distinguished from the nominal scholar. It is only when we have attained this philosophy that we can, above all, find a friend in truth. When America is dedicated to that end by the common will of all her citizens, then America can accomplish her highest ideals. To the measure that Harvard participates in that dedication, Harvard will be justified of her effort, her purpose, and her success in the fourth century of her life.